And we're going to continue. We left off last week. We didn't gather together last Sunday night due to sickness. And thank you for your patience with that. But we were going through the Christian vocabulary, looking at certain words in the Bible and the scripture that only the Bible really uses to describe certain aspects of our Christian life or our Christianity as a whole and what we believe. And so we saw several areas. We saw justification and what that means. And we saw then, secondly, redemption, how God redeemed us, didn't He? Took us off the slave market and put us literally into His service, into His house. The third word that I'd like to look at in our vocabulary tonight is regeneration. Regeneration. Now, John 3, as you recall, you know your Bibles well, but it's the story, you know, of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. And Jesus answers in verse 3, notice, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? Now, he wasn't being a foolish man. He was being sarcastic. He was very knowledgeable. He was a leader of the Jews. He's very prominent. He was being very tongue-in-cheek, if you will, with the Lord. And Jesus said in verse 5, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be born again. This word regeneration, very interesting word tonight, and hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. But you think about that we are literally, as you study the breakdown of the word, we're regened, we're created again, aren't we? In the Lord's family, into His family. Now, the word, actual word regeneration is used only twice in Scripture. In Titus 3:5, you know, he says the regeneration, it's personal, talking about personal regeneration. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the person who trusts Christ as his Savior. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, you know that. And therefore cannot connect the word washing with baptism, as so many, there's other denominations, I guess I could say, use the word regeneration to mean a literal washing of sins away or washing by way of baptism. You're regenerated. But that's not biblical, and we see that. We're going to see that tonight. The Holy Spirit does not wash believers in literal water. And Jesus, interestingly enough here, clarifies that for us. The other place that's used in Scripture, it appears in Matthew 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, there's coming a time in the future, you know, when this world will be renewed and the Lord Himself will sit upon His throne and will judge. There will be glory and perfection. And that's in particular what Jesus is talking about. There's that regeneration. Now, the word tonight I want you to look at with me, it means a new birth, renewal, a restoration. It's the act of God by which new life is imparted to the person who trusts Christ as their Savior. It's something we really cannot explain. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's not some mystical thing that we experience at the moment of our salvation. It's a biblical truth, as with many of these words, it's a biblical truth that we must take as is, take for face value, the Bible tells us about it, and apply it and believe it. Very interesting, though. It's the act of God. New life is imparted to that person who trusts Christ as their Savior. Now, as we saw with justification, it gives me a right or righteous standing before God, and justification is possible because of that redemption that is in Jesus Christ, the two words we looked at. Regeneration, though, gives us the life of God, His very nature in us. Isn't that interesting? It's fascinating to me. The very nature of God within us. That's what He does. He literally gives us new life, regenes us, genes us. As you know that, two people come together and they create another human being, don't they? And genes from both sides are in that child, in that baby. And this is what we're going to see tonight, that we're given new birth. Gives us brand new life. It is not, let me say, reformation. If it were reformation, you would lose it the next time you sin. There's some people that believe that. In particular, Arminius, you know that, believe that you can backslide into sin. You can lose it. Well, this comes back to, if we have the very nature, if you will, parted into us of our Savior, our Lord, we cannot. You know that. Reformation is different. Regeneration is the act of God whereby the very life of God is imparted to those who trust Christ as their Savior. Now, the classic passage for regeneration is John 3, as we're going to see here. It means being born again. Now, Nicodemus, being a ruler of the Jews, was very smart, very wise, was very intelligent. And he said, how can this happen? How can this be? By the way, he came to Jesus by night. And I read recently, and I think I shared it with you, but people really harp on Nicodemus about being, boy, he snuck to Jesus. He was so embarrassed of being with Jesus, and shame on him for being embarrassed and hiding. But at least he came. At least he came to Jesus, had enough sense about him to put aside his pride and come and tell Jesus, we know, man, you are something special, and I want to know what it is. But he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says what? You must be born again. Nicodemus says, what do you mean by that? You want me to be born again. Now, there's tremendous amount in that statement, if you've ever studied it, because of what those Jewish rulers, in fact, believe. There has an aspect of it of reincarnation in some of that. And you, those of you that have maybe traveled the world and seen the reincarnation beliefs around the world, it messed with people's minds. And I'm so thankful for that, by the way, aren't you? I mean, in India, you know, they take and let the cows and cattle walk all over the street and do whatever they want to do. And you would honk your horn. Some people will honk the horns at him to get out of the road, and they get in trouble for that. You know, hey, you're honking at my grandma. You know, she's reincarnated. That's my pappy over there, you know. And thank God, by the way, we're not reincarnated. I'd probably be reincarnated as I won't say it. I don't know what you think about, though. Regeneration is something so much different. He says you must be born again. Born again. What does that mean? Just a couple things by way of setting us up here tonight. Notice, first of all, the urgency of the new birth. Jesus makes a beeline, again, for salvation. The urgency of the new birth. Notice it's a command. It's a command. Verse number 7, he says, 7, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. It's a command from Christ. Ye must be born again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. In order to be saved and go to heaven when you die, there's no other way. I was sharing the gospel with a man many years ago. He was a younger man. And I gave him the gospel. I went to John 3 and I told him, you must be born again. And I told him what it means to be born again. And he just could not get over that. He said, that just doesn't make sense to me. I've got to do something for my salvation. I've got to work for it. I have to better myself first, and then I'll go to Christ, and then he'll accept me. And I tried to share with him, that's not how it works. That's not biblical. I took him to Titus 3:5, where it talks about, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy. So it's a commandment. Jesus said, you have to be born again. You have to. It's not a suggestion. If Jesus was not the only way, the truth, and the life, he would have suggested it. You could be. Why don't you get born again? It's a good life. It's better life than you have now, Nicodemus. It'd really help you. No, he didn't say that. If you want to be born again, what's he say? You must. It's a require. It's a command. It's the only way. The only way. It is not an idea that we play with. It is a command from God. It is the only escape from condemnation. Now notice verse 18 here in our text. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness because it hides their evil deeds, as he'll later go on to say. So coming back to this, when you are, the whole emphasis here of this chapter is, when you're regened, regenerated, born again, you're changed forever, aren't you? Changed forever. You no longer hide in the darkness. You no longer do those things of the dark, but you come to the light. Why? So that you can show Christ in a way what you've done. It cometh to the light, he says in verse 21. So it's the only escape. It's an absolute necessity. You cannot see the kingdom of God, he says in verse 3. Without it, you can't enter the kingdom of God, verse 5. Without it, you cannot understand spiritual truth without it. Notice verse 9, Nicodemus answered, said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? Aren't you supposed to be knowledgeable, and you don't know any of this? I say unto you, verse 11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He says, you can't even grasp what I'm telling you about the new birth. You'll never grasp what I'm saying about heavenly things. Now we see here, it is an absolute necessity. You cannot then escape the wrath of God, without this new birth. Let me just hastily hit on this point. Very last verse of this chapter, verse 36, as you know, this is John the Baptist speaking. John the Baptist says this, he that believeth on the Son, capital S-O-N, hath the everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The unsaved world tonight, the wrath of God is abiding upon them, right? The wrath of God. the judgment of God, the wrath, His wrath is abiding upon an unsaved person. This is why there's an urgency to the new birth. We tell people, you must be saved. Well, why? Because if you were to die right now tonight in a car accident on the way home, heaven forbid, you'd be sent straight into hell. That's just the Bible. The wrath of God is abiding upon you. And we think about this, the urgency of the new birth. Let me say secondly, the simplicity, though, of the new birth. Jesus taught many spiritual truths, but with these truths, He gave and brought together physical illustrations so people could understand them. Now, to teach the living water and that He was that living water, He used what? The water from the well with the woman. Remember that? She drew up the water. He said, you want more of that? I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. I'm the living water. Now, to teach the living bread that He was, He fed 5,000 men plus women and children with just 5 loaves, 2 fishes. To teach the entrance to heaven, He used a door. Any man come up any other way? He says he's not coming the right way. There's no other way. The door. To teach His care for us, He used a shepherd with sheep. Wonderful illustration. But now notice this. To teach regeneration, He used the natural birth process. And I love that. This is something that we're going to see here. Now, first of all, it's compared to a natural birth. A natural birth. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A natural birth. Now, natural birth is by 2 parents. And this natural birth is necessary for all human life. We know that. But notice the new birth that we're talking about here is by 2 parents. You could say the Word of God, as He explains in 1 Peter 1:23, and the Spirit of God, verse number 6. The Word of God and the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Right? The Spirit of God moves and dwells within us at that moment. New birth is necessary for eternal life. It's necessary. Now, we see here, Jesus, again, let me just say parenthetically, is not teaching that baptism saves us. He says a washing of water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, He talks about being born of water. You know that. He's not speaking of baptism. He's speaking about the natural birth process, isn't He? We have children here. Won't go into detail there, but you know that. That water breaks. The baby is in that water. And He says you're born physically once and you're born spiritually once. Now, you see here, it's compared to a natural birth. It's for our help, our illustration. And I love how the Lord does that. But notice this here, secondly. It is contrasted to the natural birth. It's compared to it, but it's also contrasted. It is not something that can be seen. It is not produced by physical means. We know that. It must be chosen by the recipient. It is simple faith in Lord Jesus Christ. It must be chosen. He didn't say, Nicodemus, come here. Put his hands on his head. Pow! You're saved. Bink! You know, you're saved. Do you feel any different? No, I don't. That's weird. What does he say? You choose. You must be born again. You must be born again. Now, I prefer the King James Version of the Bible because there's clarity with this Bible. The newer versions say, you must be born again. You, in almost a plural, if you will, application. But he says pointedly, ye, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, thee, you know, speaking to him, ye is for everyone. He gives it to all of us. Ye must be born again. It's for everybody. It's the same way for everyone. It's given. It's the natural birth, simple by faith, simplicity of the gospel. Now, this is something Nicodemus would struggle with. We don't hear much from Nicodemus, if at all, throughout the rest of the scriptures, except we do know that he was there with the Lord at the crucifixion. And he cared for the Lord's body. He helped out Joseph of Arimathea, didn't he? And all that he did, there's a lot of things that we don't know that he did. And we see here, though, that he had an encounter with Christ, and Christ brought him to the point of saying, you must be born again. You have to. It's a choice on your part. And when you do, you're re-gened, you're rebirthed, if you will. Now, I say all that. Let me move on here. The reality of the new birth. The word born literally is used 8 times here. The new birth is as real as the physical birth. The physical birth cannot be denied. The new birth is a real birth that changes a person. We know that. Changes forever, forever. Now, John 1:12, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, plural, of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, notice, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, wasn't your doing, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's of God. And then you know 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. He's a new creature. He's something new. He's regenerated. He's brought to life, if you will, spiritually. If you are born once physically, you're going to die twice. You're going to have a physical death and a spiritual death, right? If you are born, right, the opposite, you will have one death, that physical death, and you will have life everlasting if you're truly saved. If you have that birth, that those two births, physical and spiritual, the new birth answers the problems truly of the old life, the old life. Now, throughout history, we've seen, and just quickly here, the Romans, they offered laws to that were backed by the military, meaning they gave try to give answers to life. The Greeks offered wisdom, learning, philosophy. The Jews offered religion with sacrifices and a priesthood. But Jesus offered what was needed, and that was a new heart. Law, wisdom, religion cannot change the heart. Only the new birth can change the heart. Nicodemus said, how can this be? How can these things be? I think of another individual in Acts chapter number 8 and no 9, I believe it is, and he comes and he's looking for an answer to his problem. And he goes through and he finds the scriptures and he's reading the scriptures and he's a religious man and he's reading through the Bible, doesn't understand it. Here comes Philip. And the Spirit says to Philip, Philip, go over to that man and ask him, talk to him. And Philip, I love Philip's obedience to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. He goes over and he says, Sir, do you understand this, what thou readest? And he says this line, which is so heartbreaking because it's so true today. And he says, How can I except some man should guide me? That man was this close. He just needed somebody to come and guide him and show him. And the place where he read was Isaiah 53. And he says to Philip, he says, Can I ask you a question? He says, Absolutely. He says, Is this man speaking of himself, Isaiah, or is he speaking of another man? And Philip says, Do you know who Jesus is? And I'm sure the scripture doesn't say this, but I'm almost sure that he said, Oh, of course, everyone knows that. He was just crucified, wasn't he? Yes. He says, He's the man he's speaking of. And he says that in that moment, he accepted Christ as his Savior. But I thought about that question. How can I? And in verse number 9, Nicodemus says, How can these things be? How can it happen? How can this be? I believed a certain way my whole life, Jesus. Nicodemus said, I was taught in the best school. I was learned under the greatest instructors and philosophers and teachers of the law. I was learned in all of the material that I was supposed to learn. And how can this be? How can it be so simple? You must be born again, right? Now let me say a few things here. The new birth produces this regeneration, this regening, if you will. Certain birthmarks that are found in all who are born again. Birthmarks. How many have a birthmark in here? Anybody have one? Nobody? A couple of you do? You have a birth? Yeah, two or three of you. Four? You have a birthmark. And sometimes it's cool because it may be in a certain shape or something and looks like a dinosaur or maybe a star or something. But you have a birthmark. Sometimes it's from one of your parents. But you and I as Christians ought to have a birthmark or several that we'll see here in just a minute about being born again. You're born of the Spirit. And there's certain things that we are likened to. We follow through. We are similar in ways. And the Spirit is showing us that. Number one, a righteous life. It's a birthmark of being saved. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness, notice this word, is born of him. There it is again. Regene. We're born of him. If you do righteousness, if you do what's right, kids, if you do what's right, right? You're following through, doing what mom and dad says. You're truly saved. It's a mark, right, of that salvation. You want to do what's right for your parent. Now we see here, we're doing what's right. We're born of him. It produces a birthmark. Number two, I have here an inability to practice sin. Now, we're going to sin. Don't get me wrong here. We're going to sin. We're sinful people until we get to glory and receive our new bodies in Christ. But for now, we have an inability to practice sin, habitual sin, right? Immediately, we'll get the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If we deny that conviction and put it aside, we will over time, and God is very gracious, he's not usually very immediate with this, but he will bring a chastening, Hebrews 12, to his children. And when we don't respond to the chastening, usually if it's bad enough, you know God will call us home. He'll take us from this life to glory because we're causing more harm to the gospel. Now, an inability to practice sin, 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, meaning a habitual sinful life. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. There's the word again. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. I'm amazed. A lot of people today, they live very worldly lifestyles. And they say, well, I'm saved. I know the Lord. Well, are you? Yeah, you don't question that. Now, only God knows their hearts, right? But we question that. Why? Because the Bible says to question that. John says, question that. You know, question it because we don't know. You live a habitually sinful lifestyle We have to question that. And I believe personally they're not saved, but there's an inability to practice sin. That's a birthmark of being reborn. Number three, notice love for each other and love for the Heavenly Father. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus, he says later, in 1 John 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. It's just the love you have, love for each other. As we said this morning about the brotherhood in the church amongst, being in samples. Why? We're not doing it to showboat. We're not doing it to be pompous and proud. Well, our church is better than yours. We're doing it because we love Christ and we love the brotherhood, don't we? We want to show that. These are birthmarks. A righteous life, an ability to practice sin, love for each other and the Father. Number four, let me say a fourth birthmark is victory over the world. In 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Victory over the world. To be downtrodden and beaten down by the world, you have to question some things. Either something's not right in your walk with the Lord. Maybe some people, they're not saved because we have the victory. We don't walk around with a pouched lip and a hunched over and sad and dragging our bottom lip. No, what do we do? We're victorious in Christ. We know that. We love the Lord. We wake up and yeah, we got a lot of burdens and stresses and physical pains and all kinds of things. But what? We have joy in the Lord. Victory over this world. And Jesus will later say what? I've overcome the world, right? I've overcome the world. Therefore, so are you. So will you. Now, we see here, these are birthmarks of being regened. Are you regened tonight? You regenerated? I know you folks, I say this often, preaching to the choir in a lot of ways, but you never know who's saved and who's not. Let me say fourthly here, and we'll begin to wrap it up. The dignity of this new birth. There's a dignity about it. Now, let's go to Romans 8, because I want you to see this here. Romans 8, verse 16, he's talking about the life that's in the Spirit. He says in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, lowercase s, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, let me read verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for, notice, the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, he's saying here, again, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, children of God. The Holy Spirit will give us that peace, that comfort of, right, knowing that we're saved, that we're one of His. Absolutely. If you're a parent that has, you're worth your salt at all, if you're even just a little bit of a decent parent, you're going to at least tell your kids maybe once or twice in their lifetime that you love them, you care for them, you appreciate them, you know, you're proud of them. You think about that. And the Spirit, if you will, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're one of mine. You're my child. You are one of me. I've birthed you, if you will. I want to. Remember, Mama used to say, I brought you into this world and what? I'll take you out of this world. You think about that. There's a dignity, if you will, of this new birth. Meaning, let me say a few things. The new birth changes us from children of the devil to the children of God. Children of God. Now, 1 John, again, I keep reading because it's so helpful in understanding this being born again, the new birth. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Here he goes. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we understand it. See here. Here's manifested. The children of God, the children of the devil. There's only two people in this world. There's the children of God and the children of the devil. You're on one side. People make it so complicated. Most epic movies that they put out, the real long and drawn out saga movies. What is their theme? It's the biblical story. You have a villain and you have a savior. And you have some poor innocent person or the person in the middle, right? And it's always this battle raging on how who's going to win in the end and all of that. That's what it's all about. Think about it. This is what it comes back to. Are you on the children of the devil, children of God? Manifested. The new birth changes us from that. We switch sides. We go to the other side. We get picked by the talented kids in the ballpark, right? You're on my team. Okay, great. You're on this team. You think about that. We're changed. Number two, the new birth places us into God's family. We have His nature. We have His home. We have His wealth. We have His Spirit. within us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is an amazing Father. He says what? I would have told you. If it's any different, fellas, I'll tell you. If it's anything changes, I'll let you know, by the way, right? That's why we trust the Bible as being the inspired Word of God. We don't need any extra biblical revelation. We have all that we need in the Bible, don't we? If he wanted us to have anything else, he'll tell us. He'll let us know that. He's given that to us in this age in which we live. And there's future events coming. We know that. But for right now, he's given us the Bible. Now he gives us this. He says, I've given you this. I am your Father. I've given you a home. I've given you all that you need. We have his life. We have his eternal life. His eternal life. So the urgency of the new birth is that it must take place or else we perish. We perish. The simplicity of the new birth is that it is not through religion or good works, but through trusting the Savior. He's the only way. The reality of the new birth is a changed life. It's a changed life. God changes us when we trust Christ. The dignity of the new birth is that we become the children of God and enter His family. We're not regened and brought into a family. I've heard stories. You have two children that were put up for adoption, only to go into a very horrible home. They were adopted by a bunch of deadbeats or adopted by people that were horrible, drug addicted, and all kinds of. And that poor little innocent kid has to grow up in that environment. And I'm so thankful tonight that we're not brought into, regene, birthed into a family like that or a father like that. We are brought into, and it ought to stir your hearts to think about, we're regene, we're regenerated, and we're brought into a family, the family of God, heirs, joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs. Now we think about this, as we're on this earth, we're going to suffer. We're going to endure some things. It doesn't bring about immediately a cleansing, if you will, or immediately a fresh new life in a lot of ways. We're going to go through difficulties and changes and problems. But we do know this because according to the Word of God that we're regened, we're new. We have new blood flowing through our veins, don't we? We have a new life in Christ. And that's what we ought to understand. Now he comes back to and he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be. Without it, you'll perish. Without it, you'll die in your sins. Without it, you will die and be separated eternally from Christ. Let me say tonight again, if you're not sure you're saved, you can be saved. You're not sure for 100% sure. We often say that. You don't know if you're saved. You can get saved. It's very simple. It's very simple. And when you do, you receive the Spirit of God. He enters in, and in that moment of salvation, that heart belief, repentance from your sins and turning in heart belief by faith to Christ and what He did on the cross, the Spirit of God indwells you at that moment. And you are regened. You're born again. Now, thank God Nicodemus was truly born again. I believe he was. Nicodemus was truly born again. He got saved. He dealt and he battled. You know that. He later will say to some of the people, some of his cohorts there, do we judge a man before we even know him? He was trying to stand up for Christ, you recall. And they turned and basically rebuked him. And he had to put up and he had to do a lot and put up with a lot. And we know that. And he stood because he knew something. He was born again. He was born again. Regene. I hope that helped you tonight to think about regeneration. It's something that Christ does. It's a wonderful, miraculous work that he does within us. And he changes us forever. And I pray that you're saved tonight. You know that as well. All right? The Christian vocabulary. We're going to continue with this the next few weeks and look at several more terms that I'm excited about. And one of them is in our text of Romans 8 that we just left off of. It has to do with adoption. Adoption. I'm so excited to look at some of these, and I hope you are as well. All right? Thank you for listening tonight and being so faithful once again. All right? Let's pray again. Lord, thank you so much again for this time, and we do praise you for that, Lord. There's so much, Lord, that we could look at here having to do with regeneration, but a great example of that in a man by the name of Nicodemus, who was a very well-to-do man, a very prominent man, and he humbled himself and came to the realization that although he'd lose his job, although he'd lose his position, although he'd lose all of his prestige, Lord, that God, he was willing to because he wanted to know the truth, and he found that truth in you. I'm so thankful that he did that, left us that example. I pray for your help. As we go out into the highways and byways this week, Lord, and meet different people, we all go to our different circles of influence this week, no matter our age. And Lord, you'd help us to relay to those people that they must be born again. They've got to be regened, regenerated, Lord, and enter into the family of God if they're ever going to see eternal life with you. We do pray you help us to be the witnesses and testimony we're supposed to be this week, Father. Help our fathers, be with our mothers, be with our grandmothers and grandfathers, be with our children especially, Father. Watch over them and protect them. Keep your hand of grace there. How we love you and thank you for our church, Lord. How we thank you for what you're doing here and excited to see all that you're going to do in the days ahead. Thank you for allowing us to meet together today. We know thousands of people right now are not being able to assemble together, Lord. And we're so thankful for you allowing us to do that here. We love you. We thank you for our salvation in you. In Jesus' precious name, and amen. Amen. Thank you.